We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go.
These are my favorite memories from Sunday's game.
It was a fine reception.
In Philadelphia, yeah.
The Vikings fans received in Philadelphia, but
it's like just a gauntlet of hate.
Yes, and wow. Expletives. So that was not people standing outside when Paul and I come out after doing our show. That was the Phillies fans welcoming our Vikings fans to Philadelphia on Sunday. Well, you know what? We, unfortunately, are going to be welcoming the same fans here for Super Bowl Sunday. Now, Eagles fans got a lot of bad press for the way they treated everybody.
Well deserved.
That's right. Today we're learning that Eagles fans are trying to make good. The Mike Zimmer Foundation has received an influx of donations from Eagles fans apologizing for how some of the fans treated the visitors in attendance of the game on Sunday, which is nice, which is really
Some of them are trying to do the right thing.
That's the right thing. So we appreciate that, and I'm sure it will go to good cause at the Mike Zimmer Foundation. But
we had some questions in light of the behavior, in light of the well-earned reputation of Philly fans for being, how can we say this politely, rough?
Obnoxious? Volatile? Violent? Abusive? I mean, they were all of those things.
So we have John Elder on the phone right now. He is co-lead public information officer for Super Bowl 52. He's also on the Minneapolis Police Force, and we are very lucky to have him with us. Hey, John.
Good evening.
Anything different in light of the fact that these Philadelphia Eagles fans, some of them, a small percentage, we think it's a small minority of fans, have a habit of behaving poorly? Has anything changed? Or is it business as usual, treating these as you would any fans, any visitors coming in from elsewhere?
Well, we've been planning security and safety precautions for about 2 years for this Super Bowl. And unruly and rowdy people is one of the things that we have contingency plans for. So it doesn't matter where they come from. We're prepared and ready to deal with whatever comes our way, references.
There were so many instances that we had heard about from Sunday. A man getting his head bashed in on a sink in the bathroom and having to be escorted. You know, people getting spit on, bottles, you know, sharp edges cutting people's faces. And it seemed like, I can't imagine the Philadelphia police would have the resources to arrest everybody for that kind of assault. Because that's what it is. It's assault when you bash someone's head on a sink. You cut them with a bottle.
I've been to the link, though, in Philly for Army-Navy games. They always hold them in Philadelphia, at least they have. And it's a different environment than U.S. Bank Stadium. It's not right in the city. It's surrounded by asphalt. You're surrounded by parking lots. And so you've got everybody tailgating and a lot of people drinking to excess. And so you're kind of parachuting into that environment. I don't know. I'm hoping it's a different situation, a different scenario. But can you talk specifically, John, about some of the steps that Minneapolis police are taking? What you're going to be looking for? What separates regular generic fun from behavior that is abusive, potentially violent? What do your people look for?
The number one thing that we have is personnel. And we have officers from 60 different Minnesota law enforcement agencies, 3,000 in all, that will be touching the 10-day block of the Super Bowl. And there's going to be officers all over. We'll have officers working private events. So there's going to be an officer, usually with an eyesight. We're telling people, if you see something, look for an officer. You're probably going to see one. If you don't, call 911. Again, response time should be short. And then on top of that, if you don't want to go either of those two routes, you can always call 1-800-CALL-FBI, and they will be able to address it as well. So boisterous behaviors, things where, you know, we all kind of have this sixth sense when something's not right or something may go wrong. Our advice is get away from it. Get away from that area.
John, some of the texters are asking if we're going to grease the light poles like they do in Philly so the fans don't climb them. Any plans on lubing up our light poles?
Cold and greasy.
That's a great question. I haven't heard of that planning to be done, but that may not be done through my division, so I don't know the answer to that.
Any special provisions for the skyways, with the skyways now being open till midnight, we just heard? I mean, I'm assuming there will be additional enforcement, additional people in the skyways, and some of them hopefully undercover, right?
Absolutely. We have a great number of officers that will be in plain clothes observing, being in with groups of people. We have a very wide and varied plan for enforcement and ways to make sure that this is a festive occasion for people while still being safe.
And that's it. I mean, we just want to be safe. We here in Minnesota just want to be safe. No one was looking. I mean, not no one. Look, there's always a few bad apples. But we don't have a reputation for getting angry and violent, you know, during our sporting events. Do you have a plan? Or is there a holding area where they're, you know, like a pop-up jail kind of thing?
We do have detention areas that will be available to us. Now, one of the things that we need to acknowledge is the fact that we have been studying what other departments have done for previous Super Bowls. We had the All-Star game here. We look to see what Final Four agencies have done. So we're learning from what other agencies have done, learning from things that maybe didn't go as well for them. And we have continued to build and modify our plans for safety and security. As I said, this is, we really are working towards making this just an incredibly fun event with a great deal of security and safety. And the officers that are there are going to be approachable. And that's important to us because there will be a heightened police presence. We want people to understand that this isn't a police state. This is something where, you know, they're there to ensure safety and to have fun.
John, if it is in fact as cold as some of the models are predicting, we're looking at maybe 10, 12, 13 degrees for a high with a wind chill of zero. That could change, but pretty consistent that it's going to be a cold day on February 4th. Does that change anything when it comes to security, or do your provisions, are they sort of weather independent?
You know, they give us warm clothing in the department. Mm-hmm. We're used to being outside. It's not going to dictate our officers not being out and about. We'll be with the people.
John Elder, we appreciate your time, and thank you for doing your best to keep us safe. We have confidence in you, sir.
Thank you for the opportunity to be on the show.
Thanks, John. John Elder, spokesperson for Minneapolis Police, co-lead public information officer for Super Bowl 52. Got a lot of smart people that have spent a lot of time, you know, case studies, best practices, looking at previous Super Bowls, at mistakes that were made, and how do you learn from the mistakes? So hopefully things go off without a hitch.
We need a caller. We're going to play a game. Paul is not going to play fake news. He's terrible at it anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
But the contestant does win a prize. I have a prize, so we may as well give it away, right? Paul can't win it anyway. Celebrity Sweat Challenge. You'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the Celebrity Sweat Challenge on February 3rd at the Health East Sports Center in Woodbury. Our phone number is 651-989-9226 if you'd like to win those tickets and play fake news. Is it fake? Is it real? Are they alternative facts? Michelle from Woodbury is letting you off the hook tonight. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there.
Paul and Jordana here. We're excited you're going to play our fake news game.
All right.
And you also got tickets to the Celebrity Sweat Challenge. Are you going to sweat with some celebrities?
I'm not sure.
You might have to.
Just be open to the universe. Be open to the possibilities, Michelle.
That's right.
Okay. It'll be a good time.
Good.
All right. First story, my friend. A Slovenian artist has been fertilized by her dog for an award-winning art project.
What?
Oh, the things we do for our art. Artist Maja Smerkar has had her eggs artificially fertilized by cells from her pet dog, Byron. The work of art is part of a series of works by Smerkar to celebrate the relationship and bond between humans and dogs. Her eggs were fertilized with somatic, which are non-reproductive cells from Byron, her Scottish border collie. So don't freak out. There's not actually going to be a baby. But I guess it was just all for her.
And where
art.
Is this allegedly? Where?
Slovenia.
Slovenia.
It's in Slovenia. They get a lot of free time in Slovenia. So that's what's happening. Michelle, real or fake?
Oh, I'm going to say real.
Wow, that is real. That is troubling.
How crazy is that? That's a thing. And people, I mean, I guess she got on the news here in Minnesota, so that's what she was looking for, some attention. But oh, my goodness. Let's see. An unborn baby kicked so hard, it tore a hole in a mother's womb, nearly killing them both. The woman, known only as Zhang, was 35 weeks pregnant, but doctors at Peking University and Shenzhen Hospital had to act quickly after she arrived at the hospital with stomach pains. She was experiencing extreme pain and had problems with her blood pressure. At first, specialists thought her womb had ruptured, so they performed an ultrasound. What they found was surprising. The baby had kicked through the uterus wall into the mom's abdominal cavity. Doctors said the baby's thighs were stuck. They delivered the baby via C-section, emergency, of course, in order to stop the mother's blood loss. Both mother and baby are doing okay. Real?
What do you think, Michelle?
Fake.
Oh, I'm going to go real.
Wow, 2 for 2.
You're way better than Paul at this,
yeah,
Michelle.
Thanks.
That's crazy enough to be real, right? That's
I think so, yeah.
Can you imagine being that ultrasound tech and looking on the sonogram and seeing the leg through the uterine wall? I mean, that's just,
no.
That's unbelievable.
Future soccer player.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, this is a celebrity one. Saying she had never felt more complete and was so grateful to be home, the Kevin Can Wait actress Leah Remini, oh, I love her, told reporters Thursday that she'd rediscovered her faith in Scientology after going through a difficult point in her life. Quote, I was really lost for the last few years, and it wasn't until recently when I reached for my copy of Dianetics and understood how desperately I wanted to reconnect with my faith that it was clear I could be again. She added she realized how unhealthy it was to repress thousands of years of traumatic memories from past lives, and she was ready to fully recommit to unshackling herself and her reactive mind. She says, now that I'm back on track, I'm focusing on reaching OT level 8. I don't really know what that is, Michelle. It's some kind of Scientology thing. I don't know what that is. And she says the past 3 years seemed like a terrible dream. At press time, Remini was running with her faith again and deeply thankful for the opportunity to rehabilitate. True or false? We've known that for years she's been very anti-Scientology.
Exactly. I'm going to say fake news.
I thought I'd get you on that one. Because with celebrities, you never know. With celebrities, it's just
exactly.
A crapshoot, right? They never know. Okay?
Yep.
Here we go. Let's try and squeeze one more in. I'm trying to think where this was. A violent pimp, you heard me, a pimp, currently serving 18 years in prison, has filed a lawsuit alleging some of the newspaper coverage surrounding his trial has besmirched his name. He's a pimp, serving 18 years, and he's worried about his reputation. Reza Mozani was found guilty on dozens of charges in 2014, including sexual assault, sexual exploitation. His victims ranged in age from 14 to 19. Well, now it's coming out that because of the widespread media attention, he has now filed a lawsuit in British Columbia Supreme Court alleging the coverage was not fair. It has smeared and ruined his good reputation and character. The case is waiting to be heard.
I'm going to say true.
She's four for four. And
wow.
I can't stump her. I think I better give up.
Yeah.
Michelle,
that's
well
impressive.
Done. I am super impressed. You must read a lot of weird news stories. And
I guess.
Well, listen, have a great time at the Celebrity Sweat event.
Awesome.
Schwitzing with the celebs. I don't know what it's called, but it's going to be great fun for you out in Woodbury. Thank you for listening, Michelle, and have a great night. You did really well.
All right.
Good work.
You
Thanks,
too.
Michelle.
She's way better than you.
Yeah, thanks. You said that like 12 times. Yeah, the audience got it the first time. Stop clapping.
She's way better than you. I'm very impressed. And by the way, I'm not going to stop clapping.
You stop clapping.
There's a crabby guy who every time I clap says, stop clapping. That's like saying stop laughing. That's how I laugh. I'm not going to stop clapping because that would be like saying to somebody, stop smiling. Stop having so much fun. I say stop being so crabby.
Okay.
And laugh and smile and clap all you want. Because it's a good day. Michelle, good job. It's also 5:31. Oh, we have a great story in Tech Talk. Google Glass, not such a hit with folks like you and I. Wasn't such a great hit. People didn't wear Google Glass. It's not so mainstream.
It never caught on.
Exactly.
Among consumers.
Sort of a fail, an epic fail. But it's found a new home with kids with autism. Hear how it's being used when we return.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personality.
Paul and Jure with you on a Tuesday. Thank you for tuning in. We've been tracking this story all afternoon, and we'll see how it develops. ABC News reporting, along with many other news outlets, Robert Mueller has indicated to President Trump's lawyers that the special counsel's office will seek answers directly from President Trump on circumstances around Michael Flynn and James Comey, both fired. This, again, according to ABC News. So I'm sure CBS News will have some updates at the top of the hour going forward. But in the meantime, we have some questions about Google Glass. And
did you ever try it?
I did not. I was tempted to. I followed along. I was hoping it would take off and the prices would come down. It was pretty expensive.
I always thought it was weird. It's glasses, but you weren't looking where you were walking because you were looking at a screen, right?
Right.
How can you walk around the streets like that?
Well, you can't. You shouldn't. Walk into traffic, walk into poles. So, you know, it didn't take off in a mass market, but it seems like it has found a very interesting niche.
I think this is absolutely fascinating. Google Glass smart glasses were explored in children with autism and their caregivers to evaluate its role in this disease. Now, 3.5 million people in the U.S. have autism. So how is Google Glass affecting these kids? How is it helping them, if at all? Dr. Sally Fryer-Dietz is an expert in therapeutic pediatrics, and she's going to talk with us about Google Glass and autism. Dr. Sally Fryer-Dietz, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Were you involved in some of these studies and testing?
No, I was not. I actually myself have never tried Google Glass. But like you, I'm fascinated with the application in the autistic population. You know, many of these kids have a hard time looking at other people, having eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
And if it does help to facilitate their communication skills, then it's really an interesting kind of application.
Your phone is kind of breaking up with us. If you could stay in just maybe one spot, that would be super helpful.
Just stand on your left left foot and
hold some tinfoil.
If you can be by a window, we can send men to the moon. Can't get a good cell signal.
So in the study was pretty small. Eight children with ASD and their caregivers were enrolled in the trial. Children had a wide range of ability. Now, the glasses they wore were loaded with assisted reality apps for social and emotional learning and self-coaching for brain-related challenges and needs. All children that were wearing the glasses transitioned to an interview room where they responded to questions by the experimenter. They were accompanied by their caregivers, and caregivers were interviewed about their experiences with the smart glasses. All eight children found the device useful and practical. The participants noted they didn't feel stressed or overwhelmed having this sensory and emotional experience. Now, Doc, explain that because, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but it's my understanding that kids with autism have trouble. They feel overwhelmed. And if things are too overwhelming, they kind of shut down. So I thought Google Glass would be very distracting to have in their face.
Well, it is. It's really interesting. Kids with autism often kind of withdraw from extrasensory stimuli. However, they gravitate towards computers and visual stimuli on their own terms.
Ah, okay.
So if there's, you know, glasses and they're not reacting to the glasses per se, that they don't feel good on their face, that could actually be a niche for them to be able to pull information and interact with others. Again, I think, you know, this is a very, very small study, mm-hmm, and you mm-hmm. need to look at what are the baselines of the kids that are using them and, you know, what is the application? What, you know, what are they trying to get out of it? But just to have the cooperation in the first place is a pretty big step.
Doctor, your clinic is in the Dallas area. For people listening here in Minnesota or the upper Midwest, and maybe they have kids with autism, maybe some of their friends, family members have kids with autism, what advice would you have? I know this isn't ready for prime time. I mean, you can't just go out and buy Google Glass with the right app and be set up with this. But what can listeners do?
Well, you know, autism is a very complex developmental disability, and there are treatments that are available. One of the treatments is called sensory integration therapy, and that in itself is working with kids to really help to integrate all of their sensory systems more effectively. So, you know, getting into a good program that addresses the sensory needs in a child with these kinds of issues is really important. You know, finding the right kind of support groups and avenues for treatment, not just, mm-hmm. you know, there's no quick fix for anything. So
right.
the glasses by themselves aren't going to be the magic cure for something like this. But, you know, we're always looking for ways to augment communication. And if this turns out to be a great tool for that, it's going to be wonderful for this population.
But to your point, it's one tool of many tools in
right.
your toolbox, right? It's not a magic pill.
Nope. There is nothing like that for anything having to do with kids or developmental disabilities. You have to look at the whole person, and there's lots of different aspects to it. You know, what makes somebody not be able to have eye contact? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the underlying reasons for that? And those are the things that, you know, we want to be addressing, not just putting a Band-Aid on.
I know the kids were using, obviously, the Google Glass, the smart glasses, but they used these apps, assisted reality apps for social and emotional learning, for self-coaching related to brain-based challenges. Do you use apps like this in your practice, and can you tell us a little bit about them?
We don't use those in our practice. We're really using more just the physical person. So we're working with their whole bodies, doing lots of different motor activities. We use technology to help assist us in different things, whether it's, you know, visual timing or listening to something and having a motor activity that's in conjunction with it. So we're not using the virtual reality apps at all because we're trying to keep them in reality, not virtual reality.
I see.
So then do the benefits of this then not have a place with some of the kids, the children that you're working with?
Well, I would not replace it for therapy. I think that you need to, you know, work with the whole body to try and get the body to respond better.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be a tool for a child who's, say, you weren't trying to get them to mainstream in school.
I see.
And
okay.
if they could be more successful using a tool like this, then yeah, you know, that would be an application for it.
I see. So just for certain times and certain instances.
Right.
Okay.
And again, you're looking at the whole person and is it really adding to their life or is it just another distraction and taking them away from life?
Yeah. Doctor, is there a website you could direct parents to who might have more questions?
Well, certainly about the sensory integration therapy, they could go to our website, which is www.iptkids.com for integrative pediatric therapy, kids.com.
Okay.
And we have lots of information about therapies that are available for all different kinds of kids with developmental and sensory motor challenges. So that would be a good place to start. And then I also wrote a book called When Kids Fly, Solutions for Children with Sensory Challenges. And that's available on Amazon.
Dr. Sally Fryer-Dietz, an expert in therapy to pediatrics. Thank you so much for your expertise in shedding some light on the study.
Thank you, doctor.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Got it. really cool stuff.
Yeah, it's really cutting edge stuff, and some of this technology is going to help, and some of it won't.
Exactly, but I love that they're trying it. Right. You know, Google Glass wasn't a hit in the mainstream, but they're using it in a different application.
I'm just waiting for virtual reality to hit prime time, where I can just put on the glasses, and on a cold day, I'm on the beach.
Oh, that's nice.
And the warm breeze, and I'm walking on the beach.
Good luck.
One of these days.
Good luck.
Just think all the money we're going to save. Who needs a vacation? I just got these fancy glasses strapped to my head.
Smell the piña colada. Love the music.
Yeah.
Love the man. Kind of a sad day in
his career. Some sad news,
yeah. Yes, that's right. A Grammy winner, as you know, singer-songwriter Neil Diamond announced his retirement from touring because of a recent diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Now, this was based on his doctor's advice. He was in the third leg of his Diamond 50th anniversary tour. Mm. 50 years. Wow. He was scheduled for Australia and New Zealand in March. That part has been canceled.
What a career he's had.
He says he plans to continue writing and recording. He's going to be 77 on January 24th, and he's going to be honored at the Grammys a few days after his birthday when they present him with a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Hmm. Well deserved. Wish him the best. Yep.
Yes, well deserved. And gosh, what a giant of the industry there. So fun to have him.
Oh, we have the full list of the 2018 Oscar nominees. I think we have time just to go over Best Picture. How many of these have you actually seen? Call Me by Your Name.
Not seen it.
Darkest Hour.
Saw it.
It was very good. Dunkirk.
Did not see it.
Did see it. Amazing. Get Out.
Is Get Out a horror movie?
No, just Get Out.
Okay.
I'm sorry. We're done.
Sorry. I got to go.
Yeah, Get Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lady Bird. I enjoyed Lady Bird.
I didn't see Lady Bird yet.
It was interesting. It was a little bittersweet, but worth seeing. Phantom Thread.
I have no idea what that is.
The Post.
I haven't seen it yet, Washington Post, but I want to go this weekend. I'm dying to see that one.
The Shape of Water.
Not yet.
People say weird, but it pulls you in. There's something magical about The Shape of Water. And then Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, which I saw. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Frances McDormand, what can you say about her? She is a
amazing.
Force of nature.
Amazing.
It's a troubling movie, and it just kind of ends, and I don't want to give too much away.
It's troubling. You know, she's married to one of the Coen brothers.
Yeah.
Grew up here.
Yep.
Yeah. In St. Louis Park.
Local boys who did very well.
Mm-hmm. So it's quite a long list. Now we have, I don't know, 10 on the list or a bunch on the list. It used to be just 5. Big list. I'll have to get out and see more of them because I do like to see them before the Oscars.
Absolutely.
Congratulations to all the nominees. Susan, thank you. Paul, pleasure. We'll see you back here tomorrow.
We'll try it again tomorrow. Thanks, everyone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.